Proverbs chapter 15, we'll read from verse 1 to 11 this morning. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 down through to 11. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men.
There's a portion there in that song that mentions the fact that he owns you twice. Did you hear that? He owns you twice. He created you, he owns you. But he bought you with his blood, so he owns you. He owns you twice. He owns you by creation and he owns you by purchase. What a blessing. Praise God. Acts chapter 20 is where we're going to be this morning. Acts chapter 20. I've been in about 15 different minds this morning as to what to preach, and this is where I've settled, so this is where we are, Acts chapter 20. Verse 17, and our reading will be Acts 20, 17 through 27. When you found your place, if you're able to stand with any ease, we will, in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it this morning. Acts 20, 17 through 27. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I'd like you to notice verse 24 for our text this morning. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. The title of my message this morning is "I'm Not Moving." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask and pray, Lord, would you be pleased to bless the reading of your word to each and every heart. Pray you'd help us today. Lord, I surely need thee. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you'd help all of those that stand before me and sit before me, those that are watching online, not able to be with us today. Lord, I just ask and pray, would you be pleased to meet with us, whether it be here or in their living room at home. And God, we just ask and pray that you'd move and work and have your will and way. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've already drawn your attention there, but our text is verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul here very plainly, after calling the elders together of the church at Ephesus, he called the elders together and he's speaking to them about a number of different things. And as he gets to the conclusion of it and as he's working his way through it, he said, "None of these things move me." I want you to notice, just by way of introduction, I want you to notice verse 18 through verse 21, we see what Paul has been through. Paul talks about in verse 18 through verse 21 some things that he's already experienced in the Christian life. He speaks of tears and temptations in verse 19. Notice it. "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Paul, in his Christian life, had experienced tears and temptations. The word temptations has the idea of trials and testings and provings. In verse 20, we see he spent his time teaching, "and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." While there was many tears and temptations, there was also the laborious task of teaching. And then you'll see in verse 21 a testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the burden of Paul's heart, was the gospel, preaching repentance and faith, not only to the Jews but also to the Greeks and anyone that would listen to him. But we see that Paul is describing to the elders at Ephesus that he'd been through many tears, he'd been through many temptations, he'd been busy teaching and testifying. Notice in verse 22, he talks to them about what he's going through right now. Notice verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Notice this statement. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So he's described what he's been through. Now he's describing what he's going through right now. And I want to say to you that he was troubled of mind, not knowing what was coming. He said here in verse 22, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, I know where I'm going. I'm going to Jerusalem. Holy Spirit's already told me that. I'm headed to Jerusalem, but I don't know what's there. I don't know what's coming. You know, sometimes the unknown is a torment to our mind. The unknown brings us fear and brings us trouble of mind. Notice in verse 23, he declares to them what he's going to go through. He said, I don't know what all's facing me apart from this. He said, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Well, he had tears and temptations, teaching and testings in 18 through 21. That's what he'd been through. In verse 22, he was in torment and trouble of mind, not knowing what was coming. Apart from the fact he knew there was trials and testings by way of bonds and afflictions. He said, I know where I'm going. I'm going to Jerusalem. He said, I don't know all that I'm going to go through, but this is one thing I do know. Bonds and afflictions is what is in front of me. You know, that's not a whole lot to look forward to, is there? I mean, he's looking back. He's saying there's tears and temptations back there. And then right here in the moment I'm in the unknown, don't know what's going on. I don't like being in a situation where I don't know what's happening. I like to have it all laid out, don't you? I reckon Paul probably did too. And here and then in verse 23 he said, but I do know I'm going to Jerusalem and I do know that bonds and afflictions await me. That's all there is. You know, this health, wealth and prosperity gospel that gets bantered around, that if you're a Christian everything will go well and you'll have blessings and you'll get rich and famous and you'll live for 100 years and all the rest of it, that's just nonsense if you read the life of Paul. Would you go with me? Would you take your Bibles, please? And go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice Paul's testimony of his Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28. This is Paul's own testimony of what he had been through in the Christian life. 2 Corinthians, did I say second or first? 2 Corinthians, that's where we want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labours, more abundant. There's labours, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. You think he faced some perils? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that's all outward stuff. Beside all that outward stuff, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Do you see what Paul went through? Man, there's a whole lot of lists there, isn't there? There's stripes, there's imprisonments, there's deaths, there's nakedness, there's coldness, there's perils here, perils there, perils here, perils there. He said, that's all outward stuff. But then on top of that, he had the care of all the churches that he was looking after. Don't you think that Paul was carrying a load? Don't you think that Paul experienced a whole lot of tears and trials and temptations and difficulties as a Christian? I think he did. He did. Of course he did. And why should you and I think that we're not going to? If Paul had to face difficult times, if Paul had to face difficulties, if Paul had to face tears, if Paul had to face trials and tests, you and I also are going to face those things. But here's the difference between Paul and an awful lot of modern 2021 Christians. And it's our text verse. Verse 24, back in Acts 20. Go back to Acts 20 and verse 24. God help us see this truth. Lord help you get this resolve and get this kind of grit and this kind of backbone and this kind of steel in the Christian life. Notice what verse 24 says. So remember, verse 18 down through verse 23, Paul's been laying out what he's been through as a Christian. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we looked at Paul's testimony of his own Christian life and all the afflictions and the perils that he went through. But notice what Paul said. But none of these things move me. He said, I might have been through tears. I might have been through temptations. I might have gone through trials. I might be in some turmoil. I may not know what's going on right now. I may not know what's facing me in the time to come. But one thing I do know, I'm not moving. That's what Paul said. He said, I am not moving. Paul said, none of these things move me. And Christian, what you need to get in your heart, in your soul, and in my mind, what I need in my Christian life, I need that same conviction. I need that same grit. I need that same steel that I'm not moving. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. And that's what, you know, we teach our children not to be stubborn, right? Stop being stubborn. And my wife talks to me about not being stubborn, and the Lord knows I talk to her about not being stubborn. We talk to each other about not being stubborn, right? Stop being stubborn. Don't be this. Don't. And we try and encourage each other not to be stubborn. But there's an area in our Christian life we need some stubbornness. We need some resolve. We need some determination not to give in, not to back up, not to quit, just to hold the ground and just hold fast till Jesus comes. Paul said, I'm not moving. Brethren, can I encourage you this morning just to hold the ground and not move? He was determined not to be moved from God by all the experiences that he faced. You know what can get you away from God? It can be hard times, but also it can be good times. A lot of Christians get sideways and get away from God in the good times. Everything's going good. Everything's just rosy, you know. And they just take it all for granted and they drift away. And then sometimes during the hard times, just because the pressure gets too much, it hurts too much, there's too much tears, there's too much pain, too many trials, whatever it is, there's different things move different people. But Paul, he was determined. He said, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to back away from it. He wasn't going to give in an inch to any of the pressure that was coming upon him as a Christian. And if we read back through the history of Paul, he absorbed a whole lot more pressure. And I'm not making light of any of the pressure that you absorb. I understand some of you have been through and are still going through difficult times and trials. And I'm not making light of what you're going through. Lord knows that. But we don't go through what Paul went through. And if Paul was made out, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, probably without even knowing it, like deifying the apostles. You know, we put them up on this level of super spiritual. They're made of the same stuff as you. They are no different than you were. They had the same fears. They had the same weaknesses. They had the same strengths. They're just the same as you and me. The difference is here, Paul, he said, I'm stubborn on this. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. So I want you to see, number one, and we've already seen it, I want you to see Paul's resolve to be stable, steadfast, and unmovable. But Paul, he also in other books exhorts you and I to be the same. And I want you to notice, would you go with me please to 1 Corinthians 15? Have a look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to have a look at two different passages as we look at this. Paul's exhortation to us to be stubborn, to be unmovable, to be steadfast, to be stable. And if there's anything that we have in 2021 in the Church of the Living God, it is unstable Christians. Christians that are blown about. Have you read that passage in the New Testament where it talks about being blown about with every wind of doctrine? There's all sorts of Christians in our day and in our flavour of independent Baptist. There are so many Christians that are so unstable. This new doctrine comes along, off they go. Off, then they're over here, and then they're over there, and then they're over here. But not only is there the instability with going after every wind of doctrine that comes along, every new thing, and looking for this and looking for that, but then there's just the instability of if they don't feel like it, they're not going to do it. Going through a tough time, I'm time out. You know, when they're selecting the state of origin team, a lot of times they're not only looking for the very best player, but you know what they go after? They go after the man that won't quit. There's some players in the Queensland team and in the New South Wales team, they're not necessarily the very best in their position, but they've got no quit in them. They just go to they drop. You know, that's what we need in the Christian, in our resolve as Christians. We just need some backbone just not to quit. 1 Corinthians 15, notice if you would please, verse 57 and following. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the victory, folks. We're on the winning side. We're not the losers. We're not New South Wales. We're Queensland. Right? We're on the winning side. We're Christians. We're not children of the devil. We're the children of God. So we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Victory in Christ Jesus. Victory is mine. Victory is yours. As a child of God, you're not on the losing side. You're on the winning side. And that's a good thing to remember. And the victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ getting up from the grave, right? Notice verse 58. Because of the victory that was won at Calvary, therefore, because of the victory, therefore, Paul says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Paul said in Acts 20, he said, I'm not moving. He said, none of these things moving. Not budging. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it hurts. Yes, I don't like being cold. I don't like being naked. I don't like being hungry. I don't like the fastings. I don't like the deaths. Don't like the stonings. Don't like the beatings. But I'm not moving. Folks, you got to get the same grit in your grinding. You've got to get the same backbone, the same resolve. No matter what you go through as a Christian, I'm not moving. I'm not budging. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. That word steadfast means sitting. It means sitting. It means sitting firm. It means sitting firm and immovable. The word unmovable means firmly persistent. In the Christian life, it needs to be more than a flash in a pan. There's plenty of Christians, there's plenty of people come through the door. They come through looking pretty good. They come through talking how they're going to turn the world upside down and they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they love God and they this and they that, and they're just going all guns blazing, and then in 6 months' time, they're gone. It's not a sprint, folks. It's an endurance race. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. Sister Rosie, you do the running, don't you? Run a few marathons. It's not a sprint. You don't just get out there and run a sprint, do you? You don't just and go. No, you take your time. You get out there and you start out slow and you just keep going. The idea is to get to the end, not to start out as quick as you can and exhaust yourself. And Paul said you need to be steadfast and unmovable. He said, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. And he said to the Corinthians, because of the victory that we have in Christ, be steadfast and unmovable. Just take your seat, just sit down, and don't move. Jack, do you want to help me? Here's what I want you to do. Come here. I want you to come up here, and I want you to have a seat on the floor. Matt, that's right. Now brace yourself, because I'm going to push you through that back door. You ready? Jack is seated. He's seated. He's sitting. He's taking a seat. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and push him out that back door. You ready? You reckon I can? Well, you got to hold yourself up. You got to be stiff. He's not moving. Stand up for me. I'm probably going to struggle at this too. Right, then now I'm going to push you out the back door, right? Don't resist me now. Go with me, right? Play me. He's standing up, right? Now, hold back against me, right? Try not to allow me to move. He's not seated now. See? You see the difference is the word steadfast is to be seated. To be unmovable is to be seated. And if you're not seated in Christ and you haven't taken a seat on some things that you believe, there's going to come some pressure in your life and something's going to happen. It's going to push you on the back. And if you're not seated, you're moving. You will be moved from your position. You will back up. You will compromise. You'll move. But if you take a seat, I couldn't move him. It's impossible to push someone, like Jack anyway, when he's seated on the ground. I couldn't move him even a millimetre. But same weight, same body structure, you get him up on his feet, you can move him. If you're not seated and if you're not steadfast, you are movable. And we've seen it here. And if you've been in church, you've been a Christian any amount of time, you've seen people, they say they believe this, and then something happens, and they move. A bit of pressure comes, and they move. Because they hadn't taken a seat on it. They weren't settled on it. You must get settled. You know what grounds you? And I'm not going to, this isn't the purpose of the message, but let me mention it. I tell you what grounds you as a Christian and what you need to take a seat on and what you need to get settled on. Doctrine. If you don't know doctrine, if you've not been taught any Bible doctrine, and if you haven't been grounded on the fundamentals of the doctrine of Christ, of the New Testament church, and you've just, you know, you just embrace your lovely verses that you like, and they're all a blessing, and you know, you feast in the Psalms and you forget about the epistles and all the rest of it. I'm not making light of the Psalms. The Psalms are beautiful. I love the Psalms. I spend a lot of time in the Psalms, but no doctrine in the Psalms. You need to understand some New Testament doctrine and say, that's why I believe it. That's what I believe, and that's why I believe it. You need to be seated on some things. You need to be unmovable. Paul said, I'm not moving. I don't care what comes, I'm not moving. And he exhorts us to be the same. Have a look with me in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Now this is in light of the second coming of Christ. It's in light of the fact he speaks in the previous verses. It talks about the mystery of iniquity already working and all those things, and the son of perdition being revealed, and it's talking about towards the end times, it's talking about just before Christ's coming and things getting worse and all those things. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and notice verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, so based on your calling, based on the fact that you're a child of God, based on the fact that God has saved your soul, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul, speaking to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, hold fast the traditions. Hold it. Don't move. He said, hold. Stand fast and hold the traditions. He said, whether it be by word or epistle, he said, whether we taught you by mouth when we were present with you, or whether you've been taught by a letter that's come by our own hand, whatever we've taught you, whether it be by letter, epistle, or by word when we're present with you, hold it. But they won't hold it if they don't stand fast. Do you see that there? It was stand fast first. It was stand fast and hold. If you don't stand fast, if you don't get steadfast, if you don't get firmly set, you will move. You'll move. Paul exhorts them to be steadfast, to be stable, and to be unmovable. And Arnold exhorts you that same direction. Can I say to you, so number one, Paul was stable, he was steadfast, he was unmovable. Then secondly, Paul exhorts us to be stable, steadfast, and unmovable. But can I just point out a few passages of Scripture by way of illustration and caution you not to be an unstable Christian? Number three, don't be an unstable Christian. James chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you remember Jacob in the Old Testament over there in the book of Genesis? He had an older son. His son's name was Reuben. That was his eldest son's name. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3, Jacob is blessing his sons. And he gets to Reuben and he says to Reuben in Genesis 49 and verse 3, he said, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Boy, it's sounding pretty good, isn't it? I mean, you see Reuben's probably standing there. He's probably, sounding pretty good so far. Keep going, Dad. Don't quit now. He will have wished Dad had to quit. He said in verse 4, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledest thou it. He went up to my couch. We all know that he slept with his father's concubines. And he said to Reuben, you're my firstborn, you're my might, you're the beginning of my strength, you're the excellency of my dignity and the excellency of my power. But you're not going to excel. And all those good attributes, all those good traits, they're all good. But they'll do you no good because you're unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. And I'm saying to you this morning, you will not excel in the Christian life as long as you are unstable. You must be settled. You must get grounded in the truth of the Scriptures. You know, that's why it's so... You say, well, how do I get grounded? Well, I want to say to you, once you've been saved, you know, the first step of being grounded and being settled and the first steps of becoming unmovable is being discipled. Do a discipleship course. Get someone to walk you through the Scriptures and teach you some basic Bible principles of the Christian life. So important. So important. But you know, then from there, you know what you can do? Here, let me list a few things that we got going on in the church here at Sunshine Baptist Church. Let me give you a list. We're going to start out with Sunday school Sunday morning. We're here in Sunday school. There's an opportunity for you to sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There's morning worship service. There's opportunity for you to sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There's Sunday night service. There's opportunity for you to sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There's Monday night or Tuesday night, bi-weekly, every second week, Monday or Tuesday night, we've got Bible Institute. 2 hours of Bible doctrine. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. No, all of this is free. We don't charge you a cent for it, it's all free. Monday, Tuesday night, Bible doctrines. Brother Neil's teaching Bible doctrines. Opportunity for you to sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You've got Wednesday night. Prayer and Bible study, opportunity to sit under the Word of God. You've got Sunday night, Sunday afternoon Bible Institute, opportunity to sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I mean, that's a fair bit. We're only a little church, but that's a fair bit going on each week. But you know, there's in amongst that, within the body, there's only, we've got four, counting me, it's five. I'm the pastor. I've done Bible Institute. I've been studying the scriptures, not long, just 21 years. Been preaching different places. I go to Bible doctrines Monday, Tuesday night, I'm there. I want Neil to teach me. He'll have something for me. I want to learn. Apart from me, there's only four out of the entire church to do it. I'm not having a go. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm saying to you, the reality is there's opportunity for you to be stabilised and settled if you want it. But the only way that you become stable and settled as a Christian is to be in a local church and sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. There is no other option. There's no plan B. That's the plan of the New Testament church. That's how Jesus, the head of the church, designed it for all Christians. Don't care what your last name is. Don't care how spiritual you think you are. You need to be in a local church, sitting under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Now, let me say this. I'm not having to go at the folks that come to church. We've got folks that come from 45 minutes away. And I understand that. I'm not talking about that. Not talking about that at all. But I'm just saying there is an opportunity. There is an opportunity for each and every one of us to grow and be settled in Bible doctrine and in the things of God. Jacob's son Reuben, well, he had it all going for him, but he was unstable as water. And you might have a whole lot going for you, but if you're unstable, if you're just in and out, you're up and down, and there's just inconsistency in your life, you will not excel. Am I saying you're lost, you lose your salvation? Didn't say that, just said you wouldn't excel. You stay a baby. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Peter 2:14. Reuben was unstable as water, but let me warn you about being unstable over here in 2 Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 2 is all about false prophets and false teachers. And we won't go into all of going through that chapter and won't say everything that needs probably to be said, but I just want to draw out verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, doing what? Beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. You know what? An unstable soul, an unstable Christian, is in real danger of being beguiled, led astray, and trapped by a false teacher and false preachers. Stability in Bible doctrine is the only thing that will protect you from false preachers and false prophets. It says beguiling unstable souls. Isn't it interesting that your Bible does not say beguiling stable souls? Beguiling unmovable souls. Beguiling steadfast souls. No, it's beguiling unstable souls. That word beguiling, it has the idea of to entice, allure, or to catch by baiting. I used to do a fair bit of dog trapping in different places and trapping wild dogs. And when you set a trap for a dog, particularly a wild dog, you have to be very, very careful with your own scent and different things, and there's a whole lot of process about that. But when you set the trap, you be very careful about not exposing any skin or even your own clothing to the ground around the trap, or your hands to the trap. You wear gloves and all these different things. You've got a bag you kneel on so your knees aren't on the ground and all these different things. And then you set that trap really carefully, and then you lay that, maybe it's foam or it might be newspaper, or there's different things that people use, maybe fly screen, whatever it is. You lay that over the top of the trap, you put that soil on there, and then you've already collected leaves and grass and twigs that are exactly the same as where you're setting the trap. You don't bring leaves from home and sprinkle it over there. They'll pick that straight away. They're smart, these dogs, see? And so you set that trap and you get it like it doesn't even look like it's there. But then, you could do that, and you've set the trap. But you're not going to attract anything to the trap until you put a bait there. You've got to put something to entice them. You've got to put a smell to allure them and entice them and to bait them to walk in that direction and put their foot in the trap. So there's all sorts of different things that you can use that are really gross and disgusting, and I won't go into all that are really pungent smells. And you can put that there. The whole point of putting the lure there is to attract them and to allure them and to entice them to come over and put their foot in the trap. Now, the reality is that as a Christian, if you have not been grounded and settled in doctrinal truth, if you've not been taught the truth, you will not recognize error. And what's going to happen is someone's going to come along on probably YouTube or somewhere else, and you're going to be listening to some preacher you don't even know, and you're going to hear something, and you're, ooh. And off you go, and then you come to me with your Bible, and then you try and teach me some things from a false prophet, and I try and tell you, say, well, look, can I show you from the Scriptures why that's not so? And they've so allured you and so baited you and so enticed you, and you got your foot in a trap, you won't even listen to your own pastor. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying you can't come and show me something from the Scriptures. Lord knows I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you get allured into a trap of a false teacher and a false priest, it doesn't happen to people that are grounded and settled in the truth. It happens to young Christians, and it happens to older Christians. It happens to Christians that have been saved a long time that haven't bothered and disciplined themselves to learn. You're movable. And you're in danger of being allured away and enticed away. Now, the reality is, you know, Paul listed a whole lot of things that he experienced in life that had the potential to move him. Wouldn't you agree a lot of those things had the potential? I reckon I would have moved from some of those without the Lord helping me. Beaten with rods, beaten with a whip, stoned to death. Well, they thought he was dead. I mean, some of those things, they have potential to move me if I'm not strong in the Lord. Right? And you would agree you're the same. Paul said, they don't move me. But, you know, it's not likely that I'm going to get beaten with rods today. It's not likely that the Jews are going to take me and beat me 3 times, 40 times, save one. It's not likely that I'm going to end up out in the depths of the ocean. It's not likely that I'm going to go through nakedness and coldness and hunger and thirst. It's probably not going to happen to me today. It's probably not going to happen to you. But there are other things that come into life that create pressure in our life that if we're not grounded and settled on what we believe and why we believe it, you'll move. And for you young people, I tell you what, the number one thing for young people, peer pressure. But my mates, they're doing this, they're doing that. You better get grounded and settled on why you believe what you believe. Peer pressure. Peer pressure is a horrible thing for young people. I remember peer pressure as a young person, and it's a hard thing to push back against. But you've got to learn to push back against. You can't shelter people from that. That's not going to happen, because you're going to face it when you become an adult too. Peer pressure is not just for young people. Young people need to be able to experience that peer pressure, need to be able to learn how to resist it. Peer pressure. What about society's pressure? Boy, it's getting heavy, isn't it? Societies, they're starting to put the screws on. If I was talking to someone this morning, I'm not getting in the debate about vaccines and anti-vax and all that. I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you're an anti-vaxxer or you're a pro-vaxxer. It makes no difference to me, and it makes no difference to your eternal destiny, so help yourself. Right? I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is this. If you even question the vaccine, Well, I'm just a little bit concerned about it. They look at you like you got four. Because society says you must take it for the benefit of society. Right? And I don't have an opinion on it. I'm not preaching about that. I'm just saying, what about homosexuality? Gay marriage? You speak up against that. I say, I think it's wrong. Oh, you're a bigot. You hate. You're this. You're that. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that out on the street. You go out there to try and talk to them about Jesus and they want to bring up gay marriage. I'm not here to talk to you about gay marriage. But if you want to talk about it, okay. I think it's wrong. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Because the Bible says it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not Phil's opinion. It's the Bible's opinion. It's God's opinion. Hey, and the pressure's just going to increase. Every time we put something up on the sign out the front that even references anything about, you know, and we don't put controversial stuff up there. We only put scripture, and we put up a scripture verse a couple of times now. He created male and female, created he them. It's all said, he created male and females. How in the world is that controversial? Somehow in 2021, that attracts a whole lot of controversy. Because society says that's wrong. And church, you're going to have to get a backbone, and you're going to have to say, I'm not moving. I believe marriage is for a man and a woman. I don't care what society says. I'm not moving. But society is going to put pressure on you, and they're going to ridicule you. They'll mock you. But you're going to have to be seated on it. Remember, like Jack's sitting down? If Jack's just standing on it, the pressure's going to come. He's going to move. And you will too, unless you get seated and settled on it. What about family pressure? Boy, that can get pretty heavy, can't it? Lost mum and dad. Lost children. Lost aunties and uncles. And they think that you're some kind of lunatic because you read a Bible. Truth is, I'm going to say 60 years ago, the majority of homes in Australia would have had a Bible in them. Now, Leanne and I went to a coffee shop the other day, and there was a young lady sitting there with a Bible out. She had a coffee, just having devotions. Leanne said, boy, that's good to see. And talked to her a little bit. And that's pretty weird. It's weird in our society to see someone sitting out in public with their Bible having devotions. When was the last time you saw that? That family pressure comes if you're not seated on what you believe and why you believe it. You'll move because you love your family. You'll move. That financial pressure. I've been through financial pressure. It's been a number of times in my life, particularly as a younger Christian. That's where I really got tested. In the first few years of being a Christian, first couple of years of being married, really got tested on this. When the Lord first saved me, I was working on cattle stations. I had a ute, a dog, swag, and a saddle, and a toolbox, and I was happy. And everything I needed. I particularly loved my ute. But I owed money on my ute. The Lord saved me. I moved to Tannum to go to church. I'd been working. I started working part-time when I was 12, before and after school, every day. I started working full-time at the age of 15. And here I am at the age of 22, can't find a job to save myself. I got down to, I think I had $70 left. Church taking up offerings for me. How humiliating is that? Had to sell my ute. Had to get rid of my dog. Finally got a job. Then I got a really good job. Got a job in the smelter, aluminium smelter. Worked there for a while. Good job. Just a trade assistant to a number of fitters and turners and electricians on a maintenance crew. And then they offered me an adult apprenticeship. I didn't even finish grade 10. And here I am getting offered an adult apprenticeship. This was in 2002 or something, I guess it was. Offered me an adult apprenticeship, $55,000 a year or something. Pretty well guaranteed a job for the rest of my life at BHP. You know, all that sort of stuff. All the benefits. Problem was, I'd have to change my shift and I'd have to work Sundays. Oh boy, that was difficult. Only just married. Chewed over that thing. Lord just didn't give me peace about it, didn't give me direction. So I quit that job. So it was either take the adult apprenticeship or lose my job. So I lost my TA job and went and worked on a little farm out of town for about $10 an hour. Doing stupid stuff all day for a farmer that didn't want to spend any money. But you know what happened straight after that? The Lord moved me to Darwin, and then it just sort of went from there, and the Lord put me out in the ministry and gone from there. Financial pressures will come. It's part of life. And if you're not settled on what you believe and why you believe it, you'll move. You'll compromise, you'll take a change, you'll do whatever it takes to make a buck. I'm thankful that the buck didn't get me. There's lots of different things. Church pressure. Man, there's some hypocrites in church, isn't there? I mean, have you ever seen so many hypocrites in all your life? I have at the supermarket. There's just as many hypocrites at the supermarket as there is here in church. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's discouragements everywhere. There's inconsistencies everywhere. That's life. But the devil will try and tell you it's only in church. I've had heaps of discouragements in church. I've actually been hurt at church. In fact, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been hurt in a church. But it hasn't moved me. And the Lord helped me, it's not going to move me. You're going to get hurt. You get hurt everywhere, that's life. But the devil tells you that, well, church, you need to get out of church. You better be careful. You better get rooted and grounded on the truth of why the church is so important. So it doesn't matter what comes, you're not moving. I'm not saying this church, I'm saying church. God moves you from this church, you need to move into another church of like faith and continue in church. We need to be in church. Go back with me, we'll finish here. Acts 20 and verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? I haven't got time to draw it all out, but one reason why none of the things moved him, because he didn't even care if he died. Do you see that? None of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The reason he was unmovable is because Paul didn't even care if it killed him. He's not moving. Some of you will move if you get a little needle prick. Get a bindi, we're gone. Paper cut, I'm out of here. Jazz. No, that's how we are. Some people are that way. Jazz isn't that way spiritually. That's what I'm saying. But some people are that way physically, right? But there's a lot of Christians that way spiritually. One little spiritual paper cut and they're done. Paul said, I don't care if I die, I'm not moving. I will die on this position. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. He wanted to finish with a smile, with joy in his heart, pep in his step. You know, there's so many Christians that are discouraged, disillusioned, depressed, in a dark hole, and it's because they allowed the pressures of life to move them. Can I exhort you this morning to be unmovable? Paul, at the end of it, said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And what is the most important thing for each and every one of us is to finish our course with joy. Fight a good fight. Keep the faith. Hold it. Don't move. No matter what comes, don't move. Hold fast. Be unmoved. Take a seat. And be unmovable. Now, can I say this? There are plenty of Christians that take that unmovable position with a dirty, arrogant, yucky disposition. Don't. Take a firm position graciously. Paul's not slinging off at anybody. He's just saying, I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Folks, we better settle. I'm not moving. Because the pressure's just going to increase. The pressure from your family, the pressure from society, the pressure, it's just going to get higher and higher. Lord help you. Lord help me. I've seen too many people go in the 7 years I've been here. Just go. Most of them for dumb reasons. It's gone. Where are they? On the couch? Doing anything? They saved. If they were saved when they left, they're still saved. But they're not going to finish their course with joy. Folks, don't quit. I'm not moving. Lord help you have that same resolve. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Let's sing. We might sing hymn. Let's sing I Am Resolved. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Can you sing that from the depths of your heart? I am resolved. That's how we need to be. Lord help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon our time together this morning. God, may you be pleased to help each and every one of us to be unmovable in these things. Lord, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.